Welcome to The Five, a podcast built to inform nonprofits about critical functions that will improve their organization. I'm your host, Eric Morcheski, CEO and co-founder of Nimble Strategies. We are bringing The Five to you as a part of our company's five-year anniversary celebration with thought leaders from across the country. Welcome to The Five.
Hi, I'm here today with Zach Harmon, CFO of the World Affairs Council, but also a great musician that's hopefully you've gotten the pleasure to see around the world playing music and really fulfilling his passion. So I'm excited to be here today to talk to him about how to juggle those passions and how to juggle those two careers at the same time. Zach, thanks so much for joining us. Can you give people a little bit about your background and your history?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for having me. My name is Zach Harmon. Well, I've been a musician as well as an accounting professional for probably the last 30 or 40 years. And I was a graduate of Jackson State University with a double major, accounting economics. And I'm also a graduate of the Grazadio School of Business and Management at Pepperdine University in California. I started my career working for actually in insurance as an accountant. And I went from the insurance industry to the aerospace industry and then to public accounting with Ernst & Young. Let's see, and then to nonprofit accounting. So that's kind of the legacy of the accounting side of my passions. Also, I've been a musician since I started playing professionally at 16. So from 16 up until now, I have been a musician.
And you've had some wonderful careers within the nonprofit space, currently with the World Affairs Council, but also previously with the Old Red Courthouse in Dallas. Which we figured out last month that we crossed over in that space because my old firm, Gallagher and Associates, designed that museum years ago.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your role at the World Affairs Council and what the World Affairs Council does?
Well, the World Affairs Council is a bridge. It bridges American ideas and ideas from across the world. I mean, and not just focused on one sector. It might be everything from food to world peace, politics. Of course, the World Affairs Council is nonpartisan, but we do have programs that might present speakers that are giving their view of a certain subject. But we try to balance things out. So it's really informational. It is really, I would say, one of the best memberships a person could have because of the information that's available. And there are World Affairs Councils all over the country. I just happen to work for the largest and the best.
I feel like there's a little bit of bias in there, but we'll let that go.
Of course. But if you want to get more information about it, you can go to www.dfwworld.org. So that's www.dfwworld.org.
Great. Thanks so much. And we're here today to talk about juggling, which ironically is one of the few professions you have not had. But talking about juggling multiple careers at the same time, which it's hard enough for a lot of people to juggle one career at a time, let alone to have two. And one that takes you away from home a fair amount with the music career, because you've traveled the world, literally, playing your music and doing a fantastic job at it. Mm-hmm. You know, how does that work out to juggle those two careers at the same time?
Well, the thing about it, first of all, you can't look at them as careers because they have to be passions. They have to be passions that just happen to become careers. That's the first thing, because you're right. I mean, from time to time, it requires quite a bit of stamina. I'm going to use that word, stamina, especially when you are, say, involved in an audit or something like that, and you're working from 7 till 7, and then maybe you have a studio session that starts at 8, and you work from 8 till 5 in the morning. Now those hours don't line up well at all. But coffee and youth helps that a lot. But if they're passions, it's something that you can do. Now, the older you get, the less you're able to do that sort of thing. And I'm going to say that's extreme. And you have to plan a little bit better as you get older. But it's definitely doable. But once again, they have to be passions, and you have to plan both passions very well.
Yeah, I think you touched on two really good points. One, I mean, you got to love what you do, and two, you've got to have the stamina to do it. But I think besides myself and yourself, there may be some people listening that don't necessarily understand accounting could be a passion.
Well, it's numbers. It's
Yeah,
numbers.
exactly. And there's
And
yes.
so music is numbers also.
Okay, I guess I never thought of it. As someone who can't clap to a beat, it's not numbers.
Yeah.
Those numbers don't make sense to me. I can have an
I've
appreciation for your numbers.
always believed in let one hand wash the other. And that's my little theory. But you have to understand, I mean, to truly understand my perspective on this, you have to understand my history. Because I was born in Jackson, Mississippi in 19 blah, 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 and so I grew up in an era when it was the civil rights era in Mississippi. And my parents were actually the first ones in their families to attend college. My father grew up as family. They were sharecroppers in the Mississippi Delta. My mom grew up in Alabama. They weren't sharecroppers, but they were, I'd say, a normal middle class family, but a first generation middle class family. My grandfather was a brakeman on the railroad system, so that was a great job at that time. And so they both believed so strongly in education. I mean, it was really all about education, to be honest with you. And so they found out early on that I had musical talent. My mother played piano, and my father messed around with the harmonica, So they found out really, really early on. I actually started actually playing around six, the age of six. And I played various instruments. So it was obvious, that there was something there. So finally, when I got up around middle school, when kids are now, girls are smiling at boys and boys are smiling at girls, the fact that I could play music, I quickly learned that that was
That
a
got
good
you an
magnet
extra
to get a
smile.
smile. So I started putting more into it. And now, of course, at that time, I wasn't playing in clubs or anything like that. It was the garage band era, where two or three of us get together and start playing, and then all the girls and whatnot that lived on the block would all kind of stand in the driveway and listen, And so also at that time, me wanting more instruments and better quality instruments. And so my mother and my father came up with a really, really good plan. And their plan was, they told me, they said, listen, we'll support this. We will allow you to play music, we'll get the instruments for you and we'll do all of that. But we ask one thing of you, and that is you have to do well in school. You have to apply yourself in school. And well, that worked with me. I think I was a little smart, I don't think I was above average, but you know how that is. I mean, it's
You trying to
that's a
tell me I'm not
discipline
above
thing. You
average?
know, it's about studying. You know what I'm saying? Nobody can be smart if you don't study. So, you know, I developed good study habits. That's what I'm going to say. I developed good study habits early because I wanted to maintain my music. You know, I was always on the honor roll and that sort of thing, you know. And so when I got a little older, like I said, I started playing professionally at 16. So when I got a little older, and at that point, I'm playing clubs. I am, you know, actually leaving town, going to another town to play. And it got a little more serious at that point, you know. And so my parents, they held to their word, but they were watching me. My father realized that, you know, I was getting opportunities, especially around 17. I started getting opportunities to actually tour nationally. And because I was getting calls from major people, you know, and so he said, okay, well, now we're going to further define the deal here. And what he said was, okay, if you're going to do any of these tours that you're offered, we'll let you play. As a matter of fact, if you have to take a semester off, that's okay. But you have to maintain the grades and you got to always come back and go back to school. School has to be planned into all of this. And I was like, okay, that's cool. So I did just that and I had a wonderful, wonderful time. I made great grades in school. I think I finished college with like a 3.7 or something like that. And I finished college. And when I finished college, my dad said, okay, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, what do you mean? What am I going to do? I'm going to play music. That's what I was going to do. I'm going to keep playing music. And he says, okay, fine, but you won't do it here. And what he meant by that was not that, you know, he was putting me out of the house. What he was saying was, if you are serious about this, if this is really what you want to do, then you are going to have to go where the music industry is so you can have a real shot at a real career, because you won't have it here playing little nightclubs throughout Mississippi. So I said, fine, I'll do it. So he shipped me off to California. I went to New York first. But I went in January and,
A
you know,
young
going
man
up
from
to
Mississippi
Mississippi and
thought that
going,
was the coldest
yeah, that
thing
was the
down
wrong
south.
month to visit. So I then turn around and I came back home and I said, well, I want to try California. So he says, okay. So he shipped me off to California. And that's where everything started. Now, to maintain some of the benefits that I had before, I decided to apply for business school at Pepperdine. And I was accepted. And so I started going to business school. So I was able to maintain some of the health benefits that I was
Yeah.
getting.
And was that prompted by your parents or was that prompted by you?
That was me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
So they
Now,
had instilled that in you, though. I
yeah,
mean,
they had
whether,
instilled it in
yeah.
me. And I'm gonna one of the things that I did not mention is that one of the things that I constantly heard growing up, especially when they realized I had some talent, one of the things I constantly heard was, you know, you could be great, but you always have to have something to fall back on. You can't just put all your eggs in one basket. So that was drilled in me. Okay, so I thought that way. That was how I thought. That, and also my father always made a big deal about me getting up in the morning. Because, you know, my father growing up in the Mississippi Delta, sharecroppers, you know, they were in the fields working at 5 in the morning. So, I mean, he wouldn't let me sleep past 6. I had to get up at 6, no matter what. I don't care if I stayed out to 4 o'clock. I had to get up at 6. So One of the things that he always said was, and you're not going to be like one of those lazy musicians sleeping all day. So that also became a thing with me because I was always determined to not fit the musician stereotype. And so here we are now in California, and I'm not making enough mu money playing music, so I had to get a job. So I started working in accounting, and I had various jobs, before I got to Ernst & Young, because Ernst & Young was the real, well, let me just say this. At most companies, accounting is segmented. Okay, so you're only doing a portion of it, so I don't care if you got a degree in accounting. You don't learn the big picture of how the accounting picture works. And you also don't learn the different types of accounting. You don't learn fund accounting and for-profit accounting and that sort of thing. You don't learn it. I mean, you kind of touch on it, but you don't really know it. So a company like Ernst & Young is a company that really sharpens your skills for that, the whole gamut of accounting. So anyway, I finally, I guess it's around 1985, my music career starts to take off. And once again, remember I said I always think one of my mottos is I let one hand wash the other. And when it becomes, if going to a job or going to a gig causes me to lose money and not gain money, then it's time to rethink the balance. So I think it was 1987, because my career had started taking off in 85. 87, I decided to go music full time. But because I had always, because I've it'd been drilled in me to always have something to fall back on, I did not want to leave accounting totally. So I'd been working for Ernst & Young, so I had clients that I worked on. So I was able to maintain a couple of clients and just work for them personally. And by doing that, it kept me sharp. So even though I'm doing the music thing here, I'm over here and I'm still sharp at my accounting world. And by that time, now I have learned things that I can take or should take, things that I shouldn't take, and sort of on both in both worlds. And I also have learned that when I negotiate a position, that I have to negotiate time for the other situation. So if I have 3 weeks vacation, I have to make sure that I negotiate it properly so that it works for me musically. And that's basically how I've done it. I've been very fortunate, say, I would say over the last 20 years, I've been really fortunate because I have worked in the nonprofit world for companies that allowed me to basically take as much time as I needed to take. I mean, but with a professional perspective, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to take so much time that it takes away from the performance of that particular position. But I've been very lucky. So that's basically it.
Yeah, I pulled a lot out of what you just said in your story. I mean, you've got to have a passion for both, right? If you don't have a passion for both, you're probably just going to commit to one of them if you don't have a passion for both, right? And you've obviously got to have the stamina for her to do both of them at the same time, but that stamina probably a lot of times comes from that passion, right? That passion accelerates that stamina for you. Let one hand wash the other. I think that was a great tip for people to understand. One you didn't say explicitly, but I think is very true of how you were saying it is having a support system. You talked about your family a lot, and there has to be that support system to make all this work. And, especially when you get in the day-to-day of doing two things, you're so locked into everything there that if you're not having someone to, kind of slap you on the wrist, or I always say flick you on the forehead, to be like, hey, idiot, like don't do that. You're not gonna see it until it's too late.
You have to know how to turn it on and turn it off. And I have to say, those lessons, some of those lessons that my father taught me just were so valuable. I'm not one to, I mean, if I have something to do, if I have a task to accomplish, I have to accomplish it. I'm success driven. No matter how big or small the task is, I am success driven. And that also is a key because it works on both sides of your passions. I remember when a few years ago, when they announced the PPP loans, and nobody knew actually how this thing was going to function. No, we didn't know how to apply for it. We didn't know all the parameters. We just didn't know because they didn't know. They were kind of making it up as
They
they
were
went
making it
along.
up as they went, for sure.
And so I probably spent maybe 2 or 3 weeks every night looking at every YouTube video on PPP. And I mean, I had to know everything because I could not fall short. Now, maybe it would have been very easy at that point for me to say, well, maybe I'll just relax and let it come to me. But when you have two passions and you are doing two, more than one thing, relax and let it come to me is not a recipe for success at either one. So I can remember when the morning when the applications were eligible for submission, I had my application together and I stayed up all night so I could be one of the first people in line with our bank to make sure that we are in place and we have a good shot. But that's just one example, and that has to work on both sides of the fence. One of the things that I've worked out was, and this is, technology has been great for this, the ability to work from a laptop. And, there have been so many times when I have been in Europe and on two different time zones. And there have been very important meetings that I really need to be a part of. And so I have, it's been 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm in France or Italy or someplace like that. And here I am in a meeting with people here stateside. And maybe that means I only get 2 or 3 hours sleep. That's the price you have to pay. But thank God for technology, you can do that.
I used to have to do that a lot when we were designing museums in China, but I have a special gift that allows me to sleep at any point. And so I'd get up, I'd take a shower, I'd get on the call, get done with the call, and I'd go back to bed. And so it'd be interrupted, but I'd still get my sleep.
Well, I early in my career, I used to tell my wife all the time that there's two things that I need in the house at all times. I need clean white shirts and coffee.
Those two may not go together real well if you get a little too sleep deprived, though. You'll be wearing that coffee. One of the other things I heard you say that I really liked was don't have to fit the stereotype. And I think that probably holds true for either profession, right? Like, yeah, the musician is the guy that everyone pictures sleeping on the couch at 3 in the afternoon still. The accountant is the guy that is going to bed at 7 p.m. and kind of maybe going home and reading and doing that. But I think there's truth to that. It's like you don't have to, if you're gonna balance those two, you're gonna have to figure out what you're willing to give up of that lifestyle to make both of them work together.
And another thing that helped me, I have to I have to say this. There was a guy at Ernst & Young. His name was Harvey Gettleson. And one of the things I have to say is that this guy was so cool. He was a partner, and he kind of made being an accountant cool. And watching him and how he moved and how, just the whole thing, man. This guy really helped me understand that I could be an accountant and be cool.
I mean, I kind of like to think that you and I do that, but maybe more you than me. But yeah, I think, again, I think just because that's the stereotype, I mean, even if it's the majority, it doesn't mean it's everyone, right? And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And there are cool accounts.
I mean, I've heard, I've never talked to him about it, but I've heard that that Kenny G is a CPA.
I have never heard that before. There you go. If he can do it, who can't? Yeah. And then the last thing I heard from you and when you were telling your story is negotiating time for the other occupation. And I think that's a critical thing. If you were looking at your shows, kind of when you could book, maybe you couldn't book every night. You had to book only certain nights, or if you were going to do a tour that you couldn't do it for 6 weeks, you had to only do it for 3 weeks because that was your capacity.
That's
Like, I think really to me, that's planning, right? That
right.
and
And you have to be willing to do that, and you have to be willing to sacrifice quantity for quality.
So I think these are some really great tips for anyone who's trying to balance two careers, two passions. Any parting thoughts or words of wisdom for people as they maybe are embarking on this and they're that 16-year-old you? What would you have told that 16-year-old you as you
Well,
started down that path?
no, what I would say is be true to oneself. And once that truth is realized, then do everything to maximize the completeness of what that is. So if it's a law degree, get that law degree. Okay, if it is a if on the music side, if you need to learn about publishing, which you do, and the other aspects of the music business that seem to be changing all the time, then learn all that you possibly can about it. Don't step into something halfway. Make sure you're prepared.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I mean, it's sometimes hard to make sure that we're as prepared as we should be. The easy one to think about is whenever you become a parent for the first time and everyone says like, "Oh, I read all these books," or you can't prepare. I don't care what book you read, how many people you talked to, or how many classes you took, you can't prepare.
I have a funny story. When I had my first child, you know how you go to all those classes, those Lamaze classes and all that stuff. And man, I was scared to death. And my son was born, and back then I hadn't had a baby in a long time, so I don't know if this is still true, but back then, they would have the nursery where all the babies were, and they'd have the glass, and you could look through the glass, and you'd see all the babies, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking through the glass, and I'm looking at my son, and I'm saying to myself in my head, I'm going, what have I gotten myself into? How am I going to take care of this kid? I gotta take care. I'm responsible for somebody, and the doctor that delivered him is walking down the hall, and he's looking at me. And he stops and he stands next to me. And I notice he's there, and he said, you're concerned, huh? I said, yeah. He said, well, let me give you a little advice. He says, you never think you know enough, but he said, all you really need to do is love him. If you love him, everything will work itself out. Boom. Best advice I could have ever gotten.
Yeah, but also probably true for your for going back to the passions and the careers, right? If you love that, if you love what you're doing, like you'll figure it out. Like you can
That's
plan
right.
all you want, just like you took those Lamaze classes, just like you took all those other classes, but you gotta still love at the end of the day. So I like that. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Zach. This was great. I really appreciated it.
All right. Well,
Yeah.
thank you for having me, and I'll be taking questions and signing autographs.
I do often have to remind our guests, this is not how you will make your fortunes.
Thank you for listening to The Five. Subscribe to our channel and make sure you catch every episode of The Five and reach out to Nimble Strategies today for help with your nonprofit.